Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Well, we're going to talk this morning about the journey. And how we get there, how we get to where God wants us to be in life. You know, airflow. Oregonians love airflow. Yeah. You know, we all started somewhere. All of our lives are different. We all came from different backgrounds. But you know, something Pastor Henry is always saying, that all things work together for good for those that are called according to His purpose for our life. And it's true. Everything you go through is for a reason. You may not like it at the moment. You might like it. I mean, it depends on what you're going through. But my journey started, well, a long time ago. And God brought a beautiful young lady into my life that helped me on this journey. And it's been for 45 years. And I got a little picture I want to put up to show you where we all started. I don't know. Woo! And I tell you what, that was a long time ago, you know. But God can use anybody, you know. Just like Pastor Henry is always saying, can God use a young kid from Bisbee? Of course He can, when they surrender their heart and lives to Him. So I look at that every... Actually, I think I just put that up on my wall to remind me of where our beginning was and where we're at now. I had all my hair then. And she loved me. And I had all my teeth there. She loved me. She still loves me now. And it's been a great journey. And the things I want to encourage you in today is, and we can take that down, is, there we go. Thank you very much. I want to start in 1 Samuel. We've been in 1 Samuel for a while. It might be there for a while. I'm not sure of it. 1 Samuel 17. And this is just a piece of David's journey. And I want to start reading in verse 28. And Eliab, the oldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep that you have in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart, for you came down that you might see the battle. You know, and remember this scripture as we go on. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Or, you know, his outlook was, is anything that I'm saying make sense to you guys? And he turned to him then towards another and spoke after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go up against this Philistine. How many people have told you that you can't do something? Who do you think you are? I mean, history tells us David was about 5'2 to 5'5. Not very big in stature going up against somebody that was almost 10 feet tall. Who do you think you are? That's the difference between being carnal-minded and having God's viewpoint about things. Now, David, right, or Saul right here, is displaying a lot of unbelief. He is. How do you think you can do this? And the word unbelief literally means unpersuadable. God wants to persuade us to trust him in everything. And while we're on this journey, we're going to come up against obstacles that he's going to want us to trust him in. And he doesn't want us to have unbelief, which means that we're not trying to believe him. And it goes on to say, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth and a man of war from his youth. So we got two things here. Saul is looking at things through unbelief, and he's also looking at things through a human viewpoint. And we got to be careful that we don't do that too when we're looking at obstacles in our journey, that we look at things through God's viewpoint and not human viewpoint. I mean, it's critical that we stick to that. And I'm going to jump down to verse 36. And thy servant, again, a little feedback here. Thy servant both the lion, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David, and I'm going to read one more. David said, moreover, the Lord has delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistines. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. David was speaking to his mountain. And we're instructed to do that in the New Testament. When those mountains of adversity come up against us, when we're walking in life, we are to be, this is a great example that David is showing us to do. Speak to your mountain. If there's an obstacle in your way, talk to it. Say, no, this is the way we're going to do it. Your affirmation, it's not just, you know, a positive confession. It's showing your belief in what God's already done for you. This church, it's evidence of something that was established beforehand. You know, provisions literally means something that was established beforehand. So we have a prophetic word over this church that the Holy Ghost is signing the title deed. I mean, you can't get any better than that. The Spirit of God's involved in what we're doing here, folks. David was on a journey. Now, you're going to come up against religious leaders all the time. You're going to come up against people that believe what they believe. But as a Spirit-filled believer, we need to believe what God says. And we need to believe that what he says is going to happen. And religion always calls faith pride. And religion will always be jealous. Always. You know, I guarantee you that when Pastor Henry and Rosie started this, there were people out there that didn't want to do it. Who do you think you are? You know, little guy from Bisbee, God going to give you a bowling alley. Right. I don't think so, you know. Religion will always be jealous when you begin to walk by faith and accomplish what you're trying to accomplish on your journey. Religion's going to stand there in front of you, and you need to be prepared for that. And you need to know how to respond to it. You need to know how to know what God said so you can confront religion when it confronts you. I mean, the traditions of men make the Word of God no effect, the Bible says. And that's religion at its core. We got a lot of religious people in this world, in the church. So we need to be prepared. Let's see what we got here. There are a lot of folks, and I'm talking about religious people, that have no deep roots in and of themselves. They're not anchored. They're not strong in the Lord. They profess faith, but they do not possess Christ. You know, that's something that religion does. I have faith. I believe in God. How many people are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on that day and he's going to go, I don't know you. I don't know you. A lot of people are professing faith, but they don't possess Christ. That's where we come in. On the journey that we're on, we are coming in contact with people on a regular basis. We're rubbing shoulders with people on a regular basis. And those people out there that are religious-minded, whether they acknowledge it or not, they're starving to have someone like you come into their life. They want to be free. We have a liberty here. We have a freedom here in this church that you don't find in too many other places. Trust me, there's a lot of great churches across this country and across the world. But from a religious point of view, as a standard point of religion, there's no freedom in religion. You do what their laws say to do. You know, we're blessed to have leadership in this church that say, what's God saying to you? What's God saying to you? You know, not don't do what Pastor Henry says to do. You know, Pastor Henry is here to inspire you. Pastor John is here to encourage you, inspire you. I'm here to follow their lead. God has brought me here to this place to support what God is doing here, just like you, each and every one of you. God has brought you here to support the vision God has given Pastor Henry and Rosie. That's why we're here. It's really that simple. If you're here for any other reason, what are you going to accomplish in the house if you're here for something else? So we're all in this thing together. We heard this morning about unity. We heard this morning about strength, you know? That's what we're here for, to build each other up, to encourage each other in the faith. Now, I'm going to jump down to chapter 49. And David put his hand on his bag and took hence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell to the face on the earth. This was part of the fulfillment of David's journey in this particular area. He went against the odds. He went against the tradition of men when they told him, who do you think you are? You are just a little red-headed, fair-skinned little guy, and you're going up against this massive giant that's been training to be a warrior since his youth. Man, the enemy is saying that same thing to you and me every day. Who do you think you are? When you know who you are, there's nothing to think about. You're in him and he's in you. And it's the authority God's given you in this world to accomplish great and mighty things that nobody else can explain. Now, let's see if I brought something here. This is a little something I took out of a magazine. And this is all, remember, this is all part of being on a journey. And we all know the story about the Israelites and the journey they were on when they left the Promised Land, went through the wilderness and left Egypt, went into the wilderness, went into the Promised Land. Everything is so engrafted in this thing called journey. And I want to read this to you. It just says, Israel's enemies were destroyed permanently. The Red Sea, which opened and allowed the Jewish nation to go free, swallowed up and completely destroyed by the Egyptian army, its horses, its chariots, its weapons. The blood of Jesus was our deliverance in Satan's destruction. Israel left slavery and entered the life of freedom in the wilderness, although the wilderness was not the promised land. It was better than Egypt. It was a necessary place to learn Egypt and learn to totally trust in God. It was a place to grow up. It was a place to prepare. When we're going through this thing called journey, we're going to go through times of preparation. Preparation time is not wasted time. And the journey validates the arrival. Our life is nothing but it's a daily process of preparation. It was only an 11-day journey by foot if they would have been obedient to God to go into the promised land. It took them 40 years. But it took the first generation 40 years to learn its lessons. 40 years was not God's fault, but theirs. We all have a wilderness after the new birth to begin to unlearn the world's way of looking at life and to begin to understand God's ways. It's called discipleship. Maturity, or the place of the renewing of the mind, preparation for the land of abundance. You know, we're on this journey, and just as I read, during that journey, you're going to come through places in your life where it might seem like, what am I doing here? God's got you there for a reason. He's wanting us to renew our mind. He's wanting to change our thinking on things to come in line with how he thinks. It's a process. We're all in this journey together. And I want to just give a short illustration of when God separated me and my wife, or my family and I, from Egypt. I came home, gave my life to the Lord. I mean, you guys have heard my testimony a lot. And God sent, let's see if I can do this. I'm going to walk up to Anthony here. My eyes look a little bigger in them glasses because they're, huh? I mean, I had two young ladies that walked up to our home and knocked. We had a little apartment that we lived in, knocked on the door. And I opened the door, and there they were. They were about this tall, about that wide. They were big girls, and they had thick glasses on. And I got readers on, man. So when I get up close to you, my eyes are real big. And theirs was too. They said hi, and they squinted when they looked at you. Hi. I go hi. And it said, our pastor told us come here, tell you we got a house for you. I go, really? You got a house for us? And she says, yeah. You didn't know about it? I go, no, I didn't know. Well, you need to come out and look at it. It's a nice house. And I go, okay. So we went out to a little town called Coburg, which was outside of Eugene, and we rented that house. We didn't know what was going on at the time. But God, in his infinite grace, was moving me away from everything that I knew. All my good time buddies, all the drugs next door, all the drugs upstairs, all the drugs behind me, the liquor store behind it. He moved us. He knew where my heart was. He knew I was hungry for him. But he also knew that the temptation was so great where I was at, he got involved. He said, come on, son, I'm gonna take you over here and separate you for a while and help you, let you grow up. And we did. I mean, it was one of the hardest things that ever happened, because the guys that I grew up with, they were covenant brothers. I mean, these guys, they laid their life down for me in battles. I understood covenant. I understood that. And when you're that close to someone and you're separated from them and you're not understanding why, it hurts. Man, I kept being drawn back to them. I gotta go tell these guys about Jesus. I gotta do this. And I loved them so much that if I ever saw them somewhere, I'd walk up to them and they had a pack of cigarettes in their shirt. I'd pull that pack out and rip it in half. And I said, God loves you, man. And those are killing you. And he'd go, Pat, you got to quit doing that. I mean, that, back then, that cost me 50 cents or whatever it was. You got to quit doing that. I said, man, I love you. I care about you. And God kept pushing us a little further away, a little further away. And part of the journey, I needed to separate myself. And it took me a while to realize what was going on. I needed that. And you do too. There's times in your life where it seems like, why are we separated? Why aren't we close like we used to be? Why? Ask God. Maybe there's something that's keeping you from excelling the way he wants you to because of a relationship you might be in or friends you might be associating with. I don't know. But this is all part of the journey. God will separate you just like he did the children of Israel. I mean, they didn't have to spend 40 years out there. That was a choice they made. You can extend your wilderness experience. It's your choice. And I was so hungry for God. Instead of all those years, it took me a couple years. It took me a while to realize the importance of what I had to accomplish as a Christian and who I should hang out with, who I shouldn't. I didn't have anybody to point me in the right direction. It's almost like being a parent. I mean, we were 16, 17 years old, kids having kids. I didn't know what to do with them. It worked. You know, I didn't know we were supposed to buy formula, and I just fed my kids venison and salmon, squished it all up real good and shoved it. Yeah, and they was healthy kids. You don't know what to do as a new believer. You need the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, that's why he brings people across your life, like he did me. For those of you that remember the story of some old guy from Arkansas, tobacco chewing, knocking on my door every Saturday night. You need God, son. I go, yeah, so do you. No, he said, you need God. And that went on for a few months until one day I realized this guy was discipling me. The Holy Spirit, you know what? For all I know, he was an angel, because the day I decided that that was the direction I had to go, he disappeared. Gone. And he went to that little church that we went to out in Coburg. That pastor sent those gals. And he's just gone. So make sure that you treat people that you don't know well, because they might be an angel and you don't know it. So God's going to separate us for a time. And how many watched American Ninja Warriors? Anybody see that? You like that, huh? Yeah. You know, I hadn't seen it till just not too long ago. My wife taped a bunch of them. And I was at the front of the house, and I heard all this yelling and screaming. I thought, what is going on? I thought there was a big argument in the backyard or something. It was American Ninja Warriors, you know. So I started watching it, and I go, man, these guys are, it's amazing what they can do. And I mean, if you do watch it, there was many years ago, and then there's now, and they've come a long ways. But the point I want to make with this, when it comes to athletics or any kind of competition, if you don't beat the guy out in front of you, you lose. It's that simple. In work, in management, if you're not better than the next guy, you're not going to get the position you want. You know the beautiful thing about Christianity? There's no competition here. I didn't ask for this. You know, I didn't. We're led by the Spirit of God. You know? If I would have came in here thinking, oh, and this happens. I've been in enough new churches. We see it happen. It's a new church. Man, I can get in on the ground floor. Man, I can get in. I can make it to this position, that position. We can do... That's not the way it works. It's not. We're led by the Spirit of God. And when Pastor Henry talked to me one day about this position as an associate pastor, man, I was touched. I was blessed. I mean, you know in your heart what God's called you to do. Ever since I'm the oldest of 13 siblings. I don't know any of them, but I was the oldest. My dad was a truck driver. So I got brothers and sisters everywhere. And I mean, I've seen a few of them over the years, but I don't know them, you know? But I was the oldest. And there's something inherent within the firstborn. I wanted to protect. I wanted to watch over. It was in me to do this. I mean, my wife's girlfriends used to say, "Will you tell Pat to quit beating up all those guys that are trying to..." I was always protecting her friends. "So that guy's not good for you. You know? And will you tell Pat to stop that?" It was in me to protect my friends. That was part of the process. That's part of the journey. That's my heart. You know, I made the statement at at the ordination. That right? Orientation. There. Or like my mother-in-law said, "You're going to be what was that word? Inserted. Yeah, you're going to be inserted." I say, "Hey, that works for me too." But it was always in me to protect. To help. And I knew that the day I got saved, that night, man, when I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ on my floor in the front room and I passed out and woke up the next morning, I knew I was called to do something. First time in my life. I never wanted to read anything, ever. I became a sponge for knowledge. It didn't matter what it was. It was mostly nutrition and then the Bible. I mean, I wanted to know. I worked so hard to destroy this Bible this body growing up, that I wanted to learn how to fix it. So it's a process. That's part of my journey. You know, what's your journey? What have you been through? I don't know your story. I know some of your stories. But for the most part, what's God saying to you? What are you supposed to do? And I dare say that you already know. I bet you already know, because God put it in there from the beginning of the foundations of the world. He established, you are a thought in the mind of God. Do you know that? The things that you are called to do, God foreknew a long time ago that you were going to do it. So on your journey, ask God, where do I fit in? What should I do? Y'all know that Pastor Henry loaned me one of his guitars. I've always wanted to do that. Why didn't I do that? I don't know. But it's always been in there. I'm an associate pastor now. I always wanted to do this. I knew that from the day I woke up. I knew that God called me to teach. Inherently, I knew. I couldn't put words to it. And then I'm getting off track a little bit here, but when my stepmom called up and she said, "God had told me," she's from South America, she said, "God had told me you gave your life to the Lord last night, and you're going to come down, you're going to tell everybody down here at the church about how God set you free." And I go, "I don't think so." You know? Well, I knew what she was saying was right. I just couldn't, I didn't have it in me to do it at that time. But a week later, I did it, scared to death. I tell you, like I say, thank you for the Assembly of God Church that usually has a big podium, because my knees were doing this. Bam, 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 bam. I was scared. But you know what? It's part of the process. It's part of your journey. And there, I'll say again, there's no competition in the body of Christ. If God's called you for a specific purpose, you wait. You wait and allow the Holy Spirit to prepare your heart and the hearts of those around you for what He wants you to do. Okay? I'm going to go to Mark chapter 10. Chapter 10. Verse 25 says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying amongst themselves, who can be saved? Folks must have had money back in. They must have had money. And Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed you. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, truly there's no man that's left house, brethren, sister, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my sake or for the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses. House of worship. Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands with persecution. With persecution. Just realize it's going to come. So when it comes, you'll know how to handle it. You'll be able to look it in the face and speak to it and say, mm-mm, not in this house. With persecution. And in the world to come, eternal life. But many that shall be first will be last, and last first. We are not in competition in the body of Christ. And I want to stress that. I want, because it takes a huge weight off of your shoulders if you know that there's a call of God on your life to perform any particular task. Don't think that you have to be the one to get you there. Because if you go that route, it says right here that those that are trying to be first may end up being last. And those that are in last may end up being first. It's not a competition. It's by the grace of God. It's divine direction. It's Holy Ghost inspired. It's what God wants to do. And now in same chapter, verse 40, it says, but to sit at my right hand, Jesus said, and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them whom it is prepared. You are going to get exactly where you're supposed to be by the grace of God as you patiently wait upon Him. If you get tired of standing and waiting for God's promise in your life, you know what the Bible says to do? Stand. Amen. Keep standing. Wait. Praise. Pray in the Spirit. What do I do? It's like Pastor Henry said, God, I never asked for this. And I kind of said the same thing. I didn't ask for this. I didn't. And God probably checked me too. He says, oh yes, you did. All those years you've been praying in the Spirit for my perfect will to be done, it was preparing your heart. It was setting the stage. It was preparing Pastor Henry's heart when he met me. I mean, I don't know what he thought when he first met. It was like, who is this guy? You know? God is preparing your heart to walk in whatever gifting, whatever position that God's called you in. Be patient. Be patient and wait, because when it comes, you're going to be glad you waited, because the reward is a whole lot better than what you realized. It really is. Don't try to make something happen. Let it happen. You know, I'm going to go to Philippians real quick. Philippians 1. I'm just going to read the first few verses here. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from our God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God, my God, upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Wait for it. Wait for it. It's going to come. It's going to happen. 1 Samuel, chapter 30, I think. What's Pastor Henry say, the first book of Kings, or 1 Samuel? Too far. Verse 24. You know, this is a neat chapter to read. And you know, I have time to get into all of it right now, but another part of David's journey. You know, there's a book written about you. You know that? I just don't have it in front of me, but there's a book that was written. You are an epistle read of all men. You are a walking, living book that's walking around everywhere you go and impacting the world around you. But there was a battle going on here, and I want you to understand this, really understand this. You know, when Billy Graham went out on his crusades, do you know that there was an intercession team that went before him?
Yep.
They went and interceded for a week, sometimes two, before that crusade ever happened. Do you realize the rewards in heaven, or even the rewards that they're getting now, or we're getting, is the same as Billy Graham? That's awesome. There's no competition, folks. It doesn't matter if you're cleaning toilets. It doesn't matter if you're preaching the word. Listen to this. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike, or they shall receive the same reward. The same guys that were holding the horses for David and his men as they went out to battle, when they split up the reward from that battle, those guys that just stood there holding the horses got the same reward. They got the same amount of money. They divvied it up. That's the grace of God. You know, it's like the story where the guy who owned maybe it was a vineyard, he hired these guys to go out and do the work. So some guys went out at 9 in the morning, some guys went out at noon, some guys went out at 4 o'clock, some guys went out right at the quitting time. And at the end of the day, the owner came by and paid everybody. They paid everybody the same. The same that had been there all day and the same that just got there. It's the grace of God. You know, that's what he wants to do for you and me, and to understand this basic principle that there is no competition in the body of Christ. we're also on your journey. God will give you words of direction. Write them down. I've got different things that Pastor Henry has said to me over the years, scriptures he's given me. You know, he gave me a scripture and he says, you read that, tell me what you think, you know. What's the Holy Ghost saying to you? When you feel God's sharing something, write it down. Do you remember the movie we watched here? I can only imagine how many people here see that movie. What's the one thing he had written in his journal for years? He kept flipping back to, whoop, whoop, whoop. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. And finally it went, ding. I can only imagine. The same thing happens to us too. When we write these things down, when God speaks to our heart or we get this inclination about something, we jot it down. It's amazing. You go back over it years later and you go, that's what he was saying. It just dawned on you. It's the Holy Ghost. Write these things down. Even if it's in the middle of the night, get up and write them down. One thing to be so... I'm going to turn to Psalms 111 real quick. Running out of time here. This was a word to our church, to us, about what God, like I said, the Holy Spirit, we were told through prophecy, he's going to sign that title deed. This house belongs unto the Lord. Amen. In Psalms 111, verse 6, it says, he has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. That word heritage means property, means land. And the Bible also says that God has given us the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Imagine that. I know before Hugh Hefner died, I used to say, get saved, man, or else, you know, your belongings are coming to us. It's true. God, there's cities you didn't build. There's vineyards you didn't grow that you're going to reap the benefit of just because you're a child of the King. It's really that simple. Now, I want to ask you this one question. Well, first, one more. Sorry. I'm going to go to Psalms 112. And I'm going to start in verse 3. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there ariseth in the darkness, and he is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man showeth favor and lendeth, and he will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusted in the Lord. His heart is established and shall not be afraid until he sees the desires come upon his enemies. When you're walking through your journey and God asks you to do something, let not your heart be troubled. Do it. Watch and see what he will do. Be confident in this very thing, that what he started in your life, he's going to fulfill. He's going to do it. This church right here has an opportunity to reach out. It's like I was saying this morning when we were having prayer. Wherever our Sunday school classes are going to be back, do you realize they're going to be overflowing? Do you realize that? Why? Because the same way God is abounding towards us with his grace and his goodness, we are abounding to them out there.
splash. The community. That's our call, is to reach our community for the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't, when you see that happen, and go, hey, that's the way it's supposed to be. This is what we've been waiting for. This is what we've been believing God for. Not for numbers' sake, but so that we can impact the world around us with the grace of God that He's given us. We have a responsibility to give it back. And where do you think the wealthiest place, I mean, this is just a question, you just, you know, sound it out if you know it. Where is the wealthiest place in Green Valley and Sarita? Anybody have an idea? The wealthiest place. Huh? Oh, yeah, right here. Amen. You know, that's a truth. But the analogy that I want to bring up is you're on a journey. And God has a specific plan for you, and He doesn't want you to give up and quit. He wants to pull out of you everything that's in there so you can become what He wants you to be. I know it's kind of a trick question I threw out there, but the graveyard is the wealthiest place in our community because there are people that have died. There's songs that haven't been written. There's buildings that haven't been built. They went to the grave without fulfilling their purpose. Man, we don't want to do that. When we leave this place, we want to be emptied. Get it out. Whatever's in you, do it. And I thank God, Pastor Henry brought me that guitar and says, you're gonna learn how to play that. It has brought something out of me that I didn't know was there. I like to sing. I mean, I always knew I liked to, but now I'm doing it. I'm putting words to things that I'm seeing in my heart, you know? And for you young musicians, there's something in there that's got to come out, you know? It does. For those of you that are contractors, builders, there's something in there you haven't done yet that's going to be different, that's going to shape our community in a unique way. Maybe it's going to be here. I don't know. We're on a journey, folks. You saw how I started. God never looks at your past and judges what you're going to be in the future. He doesn't hold anything against us. He's not mad because of anything that we've done. You know, a lot of people used to say, man, you were a hippie. I go, no, I was a long-haired country boy. There's a difference in my mind anyways. So wherever you started, wherever you're going to end up, make sure that you empty yourself out along the way. Don't leave anything behind. Be everything God created you to be. Be patient and wait for it. Because if you do, I guarantee you, you're gonna be so grateful that you did. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. I thank you for your divine influence upon our heart that allows us to know you in a great way, that we may share it, that as you abound towards us, that we will have to give to those around us, that we may abound towards them to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that everybody in this building has the opportunities on a daily basis to tell somebody that Jesus is coming soon. Yes. Give us wisdom and guidance as we go our way, and discernment to know how to walk in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. If anybody needs prayer for anything,